Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you, as always, for listening to our content. But for more in-depth coverage on the Indiana Hoosiers football, basketball, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com on 3. Now with On 3 and great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong for football, Pete Nakos, J.B. Shaw, and Joe Tipton's constantly breaking stories on the basketball side. And the local coverage from Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning. You can catch something new every day at thehoosier.com. Go there. Sign up today.
Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world,
pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hey, everybody. Welcome aboard to another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Appreciate you very much. And we will look forward to enjoying a big show today. Not sure where you went to there, Griff, but Coach Griff on with us. Bob Kravitz, loaded show. Josh Harris, Kristen Airy, Connor Enright. Everybody but the Easter Bunny today. I hope everyone is doing well and getting along. Coach, are you still there?
There we go.
You got removed somehow.
Yeah, you must have went to a single shot. That Zoom.
My colors changed. Everything changed. I didn't touch anything. And I'm like, please don't make me start out like that. That is not how I want to start the show today. I hope everybody's doing it. Like I said, loaded program. Indiana football, man, they continue to add the pieces. We've got so much to talk about. I'm going to have to break it in as we go along. But lots to Indiana. They keep adding pieces, man. They're adding the right pieces. What's the latest?
Well, the biggest thing today is that Brody McCorder, quarterback out of Georgia, who's going to make his official announcement today. Now, Steve Wiltfong from On3 has predicted Mississippi State, but Indiana has been hard at it with that young man. Very good quarterback. And we're going to see here today what all happens, because that could force some dominoes to fall in the quarterback room as it pertains to some other individuals that may be in the hunt as well, depending on what McCorder does. But that will be a big announcement today. I think his presser is at 1 down there in Georgia. So between Indiana and Mississippi State, from all my contact/, you know, insider
say it. Talk. Sources say it.
You can sources. Say it. Yeah. Here we go. Sources. I don't sound like a media guy. But outside of that, their high school recruiting's been on fire last week. You know, they got the Lawrence J. Timmons kid, who's another DB signing, very athletic kid. On top of that, you know, they've got Kashmir Hicks is a big 4-star recruit in Indiana. That is the one.
Man, you got a name like Kashmir.
Yeah. Ooh, he is I mean, he is the real deal. This kid is
great. That was a really good pickup.
Well, we've talked about this, about these kids. Now we know ratings, 4-star, 3-star, 5-star, however you want to look at it. This kid's a 4-star, based upon all the services out there. But you know, this kid has the talent level of being a capable Big Ten type of football player. He's got to add a little weight on, but other than that, this is the type of kid that Indiana has to keep in state. These are the battles that they have to win with top recruits in Indiana, because these are the type of recruits that Indiana normally would not get. They would go elsewhere. And Cashmere has that option, or had that option before making his commitment. As we know, we got to get these kids to December anyway before they, you know, sign on the dotted line. So it's, the recruiting's not over, but that was a big one. The Savage kid out of Union, Kentucky, the linebacker. I really like him. That was a really good pickup. Reminds me a little bit.
Tough get. You're getting him, not to interrupt you, but getting a kid out of Kentucky. I mean, deep into Kentucky, Union, Kentucky. Wow. Down in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, we don't see that a lot in football or basketball, of getting kids out of Kentucky, which, they're not a state that produces a ton of talent, elite level talent. Mm-hmm. But when they do, that's like Indiana. When they do, it's like they were going elsewhere. And so that's why I'm like, wow, it's a pretty good get to beat Louisville, to beat Kentucky, to beat the SEC, period. Right.
And this kid has the makings of probably what Aiden Fisher looked at like coming out of high school. He reminds me a lot of his mannerisms, very ball savvy, a lot of instinctual traits to his game. And so I really liked him as well. And, you know, the D line got bolstered again with Rodney White out of the Baltimore area. At Cardinal Prep out there, big kid, solid, strong. Again, looking as of now, a very defensive flavor recruiting class, and can understand some of that because you got to figure, you know, Aiden Fisher graduates. They're going to have to replenish their secondary. What does Pons do after this year? I mean, these are the things that they're projecting out a year from now, 2 years from now, so that they're not sitting there holding the bag saying, well, we should have gotten so-and-so when he had a chance. So right now they've been hitting these commitments hard. And I think they've got some really good, transfer portal guys. I think getting the other kid was that Henry Olinger kid out of Columbus, Ohio, another linebacker. Now he's a ball player too. Can you imagine? I can just imagine having Olinger and Savage as your two inside linebackers. I mean, is that Fisher and Walker 2.0? I mean, because that's kind of what they're getting in there. Now he took a picture with Hartline and posted it on social media the other day, which I'm not sure, sir, I would have preferred that. You know, as it pertains, because I do think Ohio State's offered him, but again, we've talked about this before. Get him to December, and then the big steal. I think they got two steals in the transfer portal, especially that transfer kid from Maryland, Kellen Wyatt. This kid's a player. I mean, they're going to move him to a down in. But he's,
talked about that, man. Think about the athletic ability, first of all, that it takes to play the linebacker spot. You've got to be tough enough to defend the run, stop the run, smart, fast, strong enough to handle the pass. So that you're going to have that guy down. Whew! That's bringing athleticism to that defensive front.
Yeah, and I think last year against Indiana, he had 5 tackles and a sack. So he made a big impression on the offense that day. So when his availability came out, they were able to lure him on top of the Daly kid out of Kent State. And what a week it has been last week, and, you know, started this week off with the draft. You've got, CJ West and Rourke, two of the, top candidates for the Hoosiers last year get drafted. And then some guys that didn't, but not, you know, the draft, the way it goes nowadays, I was surprised Walker didn't get picked up in the draft. Otherwise, he signed as a free agent, but I thought maybe he would get drafted. But Indiana entered this week and the 1st of May, you know, riding on a high heading into the Kentucky Derby Saturday. So I don't know if they'll pick one of the thoroughbreds out of the portal tomorrow on Sunday or not. But right now, I don't doubt they can't pick up anybody. But we'll see what McCorder does at one today, because that's a big, big one. And I kind of have to agree with Steve, because it's going to be awful hard to pull him away. But Mississippi State versus Indiana at this point in time, I don't know what the differential there be.
SEC is a good pull, especially if you get to the opportunity. It depends on what they're selling him. Money.
Yeah, well, it's all about money nowadays.
Money, because we don't know where. Indiana's got a lot of quarterbacks in the room. And so you start to wonder how much money they're going to have. But what something I'm focusing on is the not only the success, but the effort that Cignetti is putting into landing high school guys to not just relying on the portal. So if anybody thought that he was just going to be a portal guy, he has more than squelched that. All of these recruits that they are going after, that they've landed commitments from, but that they continue to go after, shows to me they are looking to build the program kind of traditionally and fill it in as needed.
Right. Well, while the portal is a very enticing and very quick fix mechanism that schools can utilize to ultimately bolster your roster, it's a crapshoot if you get the right guy or not. You know, that again, you know, Indiana's been very lucky with what they've gotten last year and what they've got this year. In terms of the talent that they've been able to lure into the program, and they feel like they've got the right guys. And I think the production aspect of these kids that are coming in speaks for itself. But you cannot think that you're always going to bat, you know, 1,000 in the portal, because things change. I mean, you get the wrong dude in there and it could destroy everything. So you got to build your program the right way. You've got to have a solid foundation. I think after the 2027 class, he'll have a good foundational high school built program that will be able, like you said, to utilize the portal to fill in and around it, but not go out and bring 20 guys in or 30 guys in, you know, because like I said, that's just a tough haul to do.
It certainly is. Coach, buddy, sorry to abbreviate it this week.
That's all right, man. I'll see everybody tonight. Yeah, tonight, 7:30. 7:30 tonight, we'll talk a little bit more about this and special guests coming on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hoosier Tailgate tonight with Coach. Make sure you're tuning into that over on thehoosier.com.
You got it, partner.
Oh, there, bro. Appreciate you, sir. Have a good one.
You too, buddy. Bye.
Appreciate you. Hey, we've got lots more coming up. Up next, you know him. What about Bob? I just love to say that. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Thursday, rocking and rolling. What about Bob? I love to say that.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. Well, any movie that's got Bill Murray in it is just, it's got a shot to be a great movie.
And Richard Dreyfuss.
See, and he's a great play. Yeah.
Great foil.
Oh my God. It reminded me of another one of my favorite movies like that was Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. And I'm drawing a blank on the daggone name of the movie.
Yeah, right now. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Charles Grodin couldn't. Oh my God. It was, I love it. It's 30 years old and I love that movie.
One of your listeners will know.
You got that right, brother. We have a very smart audience. You are wise about that. That's why they read Bob Kravitz at bobkravitz.com. What's the latest with
lots of Pacers, man? Lots of Indiana Pacers. How exciting is this?
How about that win, though? I mean, first of all, the win. Well, let's talk about the win first, then we'll get to the craziness. But, wow, that was huge, them coming back, because I was sitting there, and I'll be honest with you, like a lot of people probably, well, and as I should have been, I'm like, those jackasses. They were going to screw around. Now they're going to have to go back to Milwaukee. They right. end up losing that, forcing a game seven, which I wasn't fearful that they would lose in a game seven, and you predicted it would go to that distance. Mm-hmm. But it's like you shouldn't be in that position, and well, you're wearing using energy. But, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. It was really important for them to close it out the other night, because the team they're playing, the Cleveland Cavaliers, just got off the most lopsided, with the most one-sided playoff series in NBA history. So they didn't even have to sweat against the Heat. It would have been a challenge for the Pacers to play six or seven and then turn right around and play Cleveland in Cleveland. So it was extraordinarily important for them to get the job done the other night.
Yeah, I agree. And it shows that, hey, we're serious about this. And it gives them a few days extra rest.
Absolutely.
Which is important, because you just mentioned who they're going to be playing. Cleveland, man, they didn't even take off their warm-up pants for that series.
Well, the rumor is that the guys didn't even shower after the game, because they didn't sweat.
Well, that's a personal injury situation.
Issue for them, yes.
Here's the deal. There's probably never been anything like this in any kind of playoff of any professional sport, of a swing. In one game, they were down 29 points. They come back and win. I don't know if it was the very next game, but they win it by 53. That's an 80-something point swing.
Which series are you talking about?
This series. They were down 29 points in one game. In like game two or three. Oh, no. Cleveland. I'm talking about Cleveland right now.
Oh,
yeah, I'm
okay.
Talking about how Cleveland is like, when they just want to flex, they flex.
Yeah.
You're down 29 in one game, come back and win. I don't know if it's the very next game or not, but they win by 50. That's incredible.
Yeah, they're really good, man. They won 64 games this year, you know, which is incredible in and of itself. But they've got 2 7-footers. Who are going to make life really difficult for Miles Turner. They've got, Donovan Mitchell, who's just an absolute killer. They've got a really good bench. So this is not going to be one of those series where the Pacers just outlast them with their depth. I think this is going to go seven. I think Cleveland's got the better team, as evidenced by the fact they won 64 games this year. But I think it's going to be an epic, epic series between two really good teams.
Really? Well, they're going to excuse me. The Pacers are going to have to step it up, and they're going to have to keep John Halliburton chained to the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to make a big deal out of that, but you would think, if that's my dad, I know that they had a nice conversation afterwards, but I'm like, dude, what the hell? Why get out of here with that?
I mean, you cover a lot of AAU basketball. I mean, parents are out of control.
They always have been from Little League, man. They're out of control from Little League up.
Right, and that was an AAU Little League daddy, you know, stepping in, and it was a really, really bad look. What we haven't talked about is Giannis and Mathurin had words at the end of the game as well, and we've never found out exactly what transpired there, but that was ugly after the game, and it it was a shame because, you know, I mean, you would hope that the national media would talk about the Pacers' incredible comeback of 8 points in 40 seconds. But, and I don't blame them, all they talked about was John Halliburton going up to Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so, yeah, it was a really bad look, and it was a bad look for John. Is a nice man. He's just very excitable.
Oh, and I get that. But first of all, in any other situation in life, you're not going to go charging up to a guy that is, how tall is
he's about 6'11", and
6'11". He's massive human.
Like, he's built like a Greek god.
Yeah, you're not going to go up to that dude in life and do that. You did that only because of the protection that is around you. And it's just like road rage. It's stupid. You do things that you wouldn't do. And so, yeah, it drives me nuts. Under no circumstance can I imagine myself as fiery as I get. And when my daughter was playing sports, there were things that would aggravate me, but in no situation would I have ever, unless it was like a physical situation where a potential danger, would I have ever went onto the freaking court, period. I don't get that.
No, it you know, as a parent of two young girls, you know, I can honestly say I've never said anything. I would go to a game and just clap. You know, maybe that's because I have two girls instead of two young boys. You know, maybe with boys I would be different. I don't know. But, you know, with my girls, I just clapped and you know, tried to be positive and supportive and let them have their fun. And
I did notice one thing when she played basketball and sports, but the two main ones were basketball and soccer. Basketball, I was yelling a lot.
Really?
Soccer, not a peep.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the most relaxed. It would just sit there and take. It was like weird. I'm like, why is that? I think it's because they can't hear you, and you're like, it's a waste of time. So it's, and you like, you know that in your head, although not everybody knew that apparently, because I heard other people yelling, but
we used to have silent games where the parents were told that you can only applaud and support your kids. Anything negative toward the referees, the players, anything, you were kicked out.
I've never heard of them. People doing that would be incredible, and I would think that would be hard to get done.
Yeah, but yeah, we had what they call them, silent Saturdays or something. And
very nice.
It's because the parents, these helicopter parents, are just out of control.
Game one against the Cavs, May 4th. That means it's on Sunday, right? Because Saturday, May 3rd, is the Kentucky Derby.
That's
so,
right.
Pacers picking up play back around on Sunday. Lots going on around that. You've got the Indy coming. Well, we've got the Derby this weekend. I planned on being down there today. I'll be down there tomorrow instead. But Indianapolis at the end of the month, lots of stuff in between going on with Indy all around. And Indiana basketball, Indiana football. IU added a new coach yesterday, Rod Clark from Tennessee. Great pickup for those guys. They've slowly been adding the pieces. It's going to be a unique team. It's going to be very, very different from what fans have seen for the last 8 years. That I can guarantee you. It's going to be very interesting. We've got Josh Harris joining us today. And Connor Enright, two new players. So, guys that bring very different talents to a team. But this is going to be fascinating to watch. But I'm still waiting to see what Darren DeVries is. And it's not out of. I mean, I have no worries because I don't
I'll let the fans worry about the stuff. But I'm wondering, what is he going to do with this five spot? He's got Reed, which is a 6'10", big 6'10" guy, and he's got a lot of athletic guys around him, very athletic, that play bigger than they are at 6'8" and whatnot. But you still got to have a guy, at least one more, I think, without question.
Well, yeah, that would be helpful. It's funny because for all those years, that's all they had was good big guys. Did you see?
And before I forget, they got there. There we go. Terry did us a solid Midnight Run.
That's it. That's a hell of a movie.
Oh, yes, it is. Thank you
great
so much,
buddy. Terry. Great Thank buddy movie.
Oh, it's a great one. I love it. I did a paper on that in college, as a matter of fact.
Really? What was your major?
Speech communication.
Okay.
Shocker.
I was just wondering.
You would think that I would know how to talk, but even with all that, no, not. Well, that's why I started out as a TV sports anchor, but unfortunately I found out that I have a face made for radio and a voice for newspapers and an intellect for yearbook. So.
An intellect for yearbook. That's really.
How about that? I added that. That's my own little twist to it.
Yeah, I like it.
Senor Ace, this is my old Spanish teacher in high school, Bob.
Senor Ace?
Yeah, right there. Ace is H in Spanish.
Right. I'm aware of that.
I didn't know, if you spoke German or not.
I speak English, profanity, and a little Spanish.
Yeah, I am right there, boy, right there with you. Senor Ace says Federico is on the radar. Yeah, he is. He is not. He's not committed anywhere yet. And those guys have it's kind of like having a trump card, man, and playing whatever card game you're playing. The big guys are the trump card right now.
Right. Right. No, I mean. Yeah, they clearly need to bring in somebody. I mean, on paper, this looks like a team that can shoot the ball, which would be a nice change of pace. But you're right, they need somebody in the middle.
Not to jump around, but how about the Colts taking Tyler Warren? That's the guy that they pretty much we knew that they wanted, needed. And they actually get the guy that they wanted or needed in the draft this year.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought that he would go top 10. And instead, the Chicago Bears took Colston Loveland, the other tight end, out of Michigan. I think they took him at 10. So basically, Tyler Warren fell to them. Everybody and his mother knew that they were going to take a tight end. I mean, there was no question in anybody's mind that they were going to grab Warren or Loveland. I think Warren's going to be a stud. I have some questions about his raw speed because he didn't put up a 40 number. But I think he's got competitive speed. And to be honest with you, I saw that game against USC. That's all. I'm convinced that the Colts just watched one piece of film and said, yep, that's our guy. Because that game against USC was as dominant a performance from anybody in any position I've seen in a football game.
And a very needed one because...
Oh, my God. Well, check this out. Their leading tight end last year in terms of receptions was Kylan Granson, who had 14. This kid had 17 in one game against USC.
That's amazing. Amazing use. What's up next for you, brother?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm going to be doing some Pacers playoffs, but my 35th wedding anniversary is coming up on May 12th, and I'm taking my wife to Jamaica, man. So I will miss...
A little of the ganja?
Maybe. And you got to do what the locals do. You know, it's the least.
Hey, you know, win in Rome. Win in Rome.
When in Ocho Rios. Yeah. So I'm going to miss games 3 through 6. But there is a sports bar at the resort where we're staying, and I'm going to beg the bartender to somehow find TNT or whatever channel it's on and watch those games.
I found an IU game in a Mexican coastal town one time that there was no way on God's green earth that this game was going to be found, and we found it. So you'll have no problems.
I gotta think they'll find it for us. I gotta think so. So, you know, if I'm not writing for a couple of days, that's why.
Sounds great, brother. We appreciate you as always.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you.
Enjoy it. Enjoy your weekend. Bob Kravitz from BobKravitz.com. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Thursday. Waiting, hopefully, for Josh Harris to join us. Of course, you know, it's maybe he's out getting some shots up, but he'll be jumping on here shortly. And a big weekend as well, the Kentucky Derby this weekend. It should be fun, but I don't think the weather's going to be that great. As a matter of fact, it sounds like they are possible of having some rain, but that won't stop things. It'll continue to go on, but all those ladies with their hats are going to get mussed. But what are you going to do? Into each life, a little rain must fall. Enjoyed our conversation with Bob. Looking forward to Connor Enright joining us as well today. Chris Denary, as the Pacers roll on. We talked in Pacers with Bob there. But, man, that's going to be a very, very tough series with Cleveland. And if they can win that, then you still got to turn around and play Boston. And if you were to win that, you would then have to play Oklahoma City. Think about those three teams that you have to go through to win a title. You had to go through Cleveland, Boston, and Oklahoma City, the most dominant team in the league this year. Crazy. It is crazy. Aaron from ISC is backing up in the next 2 days in case I was going to be go down the track today. I'll bring Aaron in and say thanks. Thanks, Aaron. We appreciate you. But I plan on being down the track today, but it wasn't going to work out from a timing issue. And with having these guys on today, I was rather be in the studio. But appreciate you stepping up to back up, produce, and all that good stuff today, man.
You're welcome, Jim. Thanks for bringing me in. And, yeah, happy to help out. And yeah, it's pouring down rain here, so it looks like a mutter is going to be winning this race. Looks like it's going to be raining in Louisville for a few days.
So it's raining up in Fort Wayne.
Yep. And but
it has not started in Bloomington yet, baby. But it's not going to be a great weekend, it looks like. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The Pacers, man, they have got a great series going. I know you don't follow them a ton, but this is a fun thing. If they can get rolling, man, that would the city of Indianapolis would just be on fire if they can get they'll be on fire during this series. But if they were able to beat Cleveland, man, and return to a matchup with Boston, that would be something.
Oh, it would be. And I've been trying to follow it, but I will tell you, these blackout restrictions are just ridiculous. I mean, if you live within 300 miles of Milwaukee, or I think only one game was not blacked out of all the games they had on. So I rewatched the last game, like everything that happened in the overtime. I was like looking at it on my phone. And yeah, a lot of people going nuts about Halliburton's dad and everything like that. But
people get fired up. Yeah. Brian says, Jim Rail passed away in Kokomo at the age of 58. He was a Hoosier great, Jim Rail's son. He played at IU Fort Wayne and Ball State. Was in Hoosiers, number 5 on the Terhune team. That's funny. I know a guy that was on that Terhune team that was a Terhune. It was where they had all the fighting and shoved into the trophy case and all that. But when he said, when these young guys are playing like a bunch of gorillas. And one player said, "Who you call a gorilla?" He goes, "You for one." And the guy that Gene Hackman was talking to is, "I know that guy." I say, "That's funny as hell." There's that. Yeah, unfortunately, Josh, not sure if he's gonna make it or not, but I'm sure that Connor will. Hopefully we can get Josh on another day. But Indiana pulling in a new coaching hire yesterday with Rod Clark coming in from Tennessee, and all indications are that is a very, very well-liked hire by most people, and it is a good get. He has been at Tennessee, where I think that they have gone to back-to-back Elite Eights. This is the guy that knows how to win, and this is a team that Darren DeVries is putting together of guys that seem to me are hungry, that are going to battle for minutes, much less battle for wins. And that is going to be very important, because I don't think fans have seen Indiana players. Well, I don't want to say players. They have not seen a team that just gets after it and lays it out on the line day, game in, game out. And that will be something that will come around without question, because that's what Darren DeVries seems to be demanding from these guys. And there's a lot of talk because, oh, they're not coming from these big P4 locations and all of that. You know what? Those guys aren't all hungry. And he's bringing in a group of guys that are going to fight. They're going to fight each other, because you're going to have to fight for minutes on this team with all of these guys that are very similar in the either style of play or size. You're going to have to fight to get your own minutes. People think, well, who's this guy's going to start? This guy's going to start. I don't think starting is going to be an issue, because as much as they're going to get up and down the floor, I think they're going to need more guys than – I don't think they're going to have a short rotation of 7-8 guys. I think they're going to go 9-10 deep maybe, because of getting up and down the floor. We'll have to certainly wait and find out. But
yeah, we shall see. They have versatility, it seems like, at all positions. And yeah, I was super excited to see the guy from Tennessee, because the types of players, and I watched probably more SEC basketball this last year than I ever have, but like the type of players Tennessee gets in to play that type of defense, it's not, I think Indiana's used to just having like a 7-foot rim protector. We've kind of had like a guy like that for quite a while. But it's not necessary if you're going to play that style of game. And I don't know if he was instrumental. I'm trying to like find out and bringing in like Dalton Connect into Tennessee. But that was a huge dude that was like a diamond in the rough, went to Tennessee, and then was a top draft pick. So, yeah, pretty exciting that dude coming aboard for Indiana.
Well, he's the fourth assistant added by Darren DeVries this offseason, joining Nick Norton, Drew Adams, and Kenny Johnson. And so has there been an additional assistant added to the availability? Because it used to be three assistants that you were allowed to have. Now, Drew Adams, I don't know, is he an assistant per se, or is I'm a little confused by that.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I don't know if some of these, if there's still three, and then they'll like make like a role, like a consulting role or whatever. I don't know how that.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things like a GM, which will be the recruiting type, and things like that. But Rod Clark, native of Kansas City, Missouri, he is a high energy coach, rising star in the college basketball ranks. He played a key role at Tennessee and the recruiting and developing of Dalton Connect, who was just recently selected number 17 overall by the Lakers in this past draft. He was a first team All-American. He came in from, where the hell did he come from? Yale or something. I forget where he came in from, but anyway, turned that guy into a sensation. So it's a great staff that Darren DeVries has put together. Kenny Johnson is a well-known recruiter. Drew Adams done a great job recruiting. Nick Norton, who is someone that was already with him and very comfortable. He has put together his staff. He's done it slowly but methodically. It seems like everything has been methodical and just rolling along slowly like lava, just rolling and taking out whatever's in its path. So The only question remains, as I said earlier, is what he's going to do with this number, this five spot. I'm just interested to see who he can land. Of course, that's probably why we haven't heard anything. They're just still trying to land that guy. There's plenty of open available scholarship spots, but there's more spots than there are probably available guys or the guys that they really want to fill that one. So we'll have to see, check in, but I cannot wait to watch this team play. I think they're going to be a very ball-hawking defending team, but they're going to be an athletic team. They're going to have to make up for a lot of some things with their athleticism. So,
yeah, it's we've had such a bad style for so long, and you said it methodical because like how he's bringing in the coaches. I mean, it seems like he's putting a lot of deep thought into selling Indiana to even the assistant coaches. Cause I mean, being an assistant at Tennessee and arguably the SEC and basketball has been better this last year. So it's huge to get guys who are really wanted, you know, in the sport to, you know, come to Indiana.
Heath asking what happens with the Zeller rumors out there. I have no idea what you're speaking of on that regard. Is that if that's something that comes from Facebook or then I would have no knowledge of it. I don't read any of that crap. First of all, I've noticed when I've seen just happen to see stuff, there are so many fake news stories. And I mean, they're fake news that are developed by, I don't even know whom that puts that stuff out there. And people believe that. Man, y'all gotta quickly learn to understand that if it's not from a very familiar, credible site source like thehoosier.com on three or one of those, then it's probably bull bleep, people. Because if it was something of importance like that, it's going to be, even if it's not coming first from an IU site, it's going to be out fast. So, you know, put some thought into this stuff. And speaking of thehoosier.com on three, holy cow, man, what a shocking thing yesterday that I didn't find out until yesterday, like everyone else. I found out before, but on three has purchased Rivals and now owns Rivals. Very ironic. Because thehoosier.com was just recently left Rivals after having been with them for quite some time. And I'll tell you exactly why. That's because last fall they decided to fire all of their basketball people and without informing any of their outlets, which was a little aggravating. But so thehoosier.com made the decision to move to the up and coming and rocket ship that is on three. And as if you've seen already in the first month of being with on three, the stories that they have broken, virtually every recruiting story for Indiana has come from on three first. But the former rival site will now come back to thehoosier.com and will be combined. So got that going for them, which is nice. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, Rivals, they're like the oldest recruiting site, right?
Oldest. Yeah. But on three is the new here and getting it done. Make sure you go to thehoosier.com and get a subscription, by the way. Support those guys as they continue to bring all of that to you. Andy says Jordan Hulls was a certified on-road assistant. But he wasn't one of the main three. Kenya, Yawash, and main three. Yes. Jordy, I'm not sure what this is saying. But Jordan he had a recruiting title. But I'm not sure how much work he actually did on the recruiting side of that. Probably more player development. I'm not sure what all they used him for. Woody had an extensive payroll. A lot of consulting. So, yeah, they had that going for him. Which is nice. Man, I did not make it down to Churchill today, although I'd planned to do that, but figured it would just be better to wait until tomorrow to do that and hopefully stay out of the rain as much as possible. But you've got plenty, plenty, plenty lined up today as Chris Denary will join us next. And then after that, Connor Enright will talk. And we'll keep you updated on what's going on with Indiana as they continue to roll on. Darren DeVries filling his roster up and has done so pretty nicely. He still has not gotten, and I'm not sure that he really wants now, a guy that would make people go, oh, that would stand out. Because to me, right now, there seems to be a great equalization of the talent level of these guys. It seems like everybody is right there, and it's going to be a freaking battle. I was thinking last night, poor Trent Sisley. He's used to getting beat on, but boy, I bet he's going to get beat out of him when he comes in. But he'll give it back too. Don't worry. He knows how to do it. He's been beat on, so he knows how to give it back. But it's going to be some black and blue practices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Trent Sisley. He's like like the forgotten guy, you know, out of all these dudes. But he's another guy that can play the 4-3-4, you know, versatile player. So, they're all going
to. Andy's up in arms about he says, you keep saying Adams is not an actual assistant when he 100% is, but you can have more guys as certified on-road recruiting assistants. Jordy was that, but he wasn't a true assistant. Yeah, what I'm saying is I don't think that he's one of the three assistants that you think of as assistants. That's what I'm saying. I just don't know exactly what his role is going to be. So I don't think he's one of the three main assistants is my point, when it is Kenny Johnson, Nick Norton, and Rod Clark. So I'm not sure exactly what his role will be, and whatever you want to call it. I'm just talking about those. Okay, I'm 100% wrong. Okay, so he is one of those three. Is that what you're saying? If that is the case, then I am wrong. But we haven't been told what that is. That has not come out. That's more or less what I'm saying. So we got that going for us, which is great. Boy, we've got plenty more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Hope you're sticking around for it. Derby this weekend. How many into it, man? Do you ever watch the Derby?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I never miss it. I used to bartend and stuff. It was like Derby Day. It was like a big day when you were a bartender, you know. And the presentation of it. My sister lives in Louisville, so it's like the hats, all that stuff. She's lived there. She went to IU and New Albany, so she's been down there for quite a while. So, yeah, it's like you can't miss it, you know, type of thing. The pageantry of it all.
Your sister's where?
In Louisville.
Oh, I did not know that. So well, that makes it easy. That makes it easy and convenient. You got a place, place to stay.
Yeah, yeah. If I ever get down there. I've been to the Belmont a few times when the Triple Crown was coming around. That was always exciting, being on that last leg of it. That track has a totally different feel. It's so huge, and you can only really be on one side of the Belmont. It's not opened up like all over.
We've got lots more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Chris Denary should be joining us next. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Thursday. Hope you're doing well. Chris Denary will be joining us shortly. And we'll get caught up on that crazy game he called the other night. He was right there in a front row seat for it. So, man, cannot wait to get his reaction. And we'll talk about the festivities that followed. So we've got that going for us as well. So how's your weekend looking, other than a little rainy probably, wherever you may be going? Man, I hate when there's an event and you rain. It's a natural thing. It's nothing to really get upset about, but it's like, oh man, come on. Couldn't this happen 6 hours later or 6 hours before? So hopefully the rain will stay away, but I don't know if I mentioned this stat yesterday that Chris sent me, and he's joining us now. Chris, I was just getting ready to read the stat that you sent me that I think I mentioned this yesterday's show, but it's mind-boggling that in NBA playoff teams in the last 20 years were 0-1176 when trailing by 7 or more points with 40 seconds or less remaining.
Yeah.
Now it's 1-1176. And I remember looking up, I was watching the game, and I'm like, God dang it. I just said this earlier to Bob. I'm like, they screwed around. Now they're going to have to go back to Milwaukee. They'll screw around and end up in a game 7 situation, which yeah. I wasn't fearful that they would lose that. But it's just like, you shouldn't be here. It's kind of like getting back into that playing down, not playing to your level every time. But boy, they changed things in the last 40 seconds of that game.
Yeah, it was one of the most remarkable things I think I've ever seen. Somebody asked me yesterday, where does it rank, you know, and all the things that you've broadcast. I go, well, it definitely has to be in the top 5. I mean, you know, I've done some Indianapolis 500s on radio with great finishes. You know, unfortunately, like last year in Game 7 in New York when the Pacers won to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, I wasn't doing the game. I was sitting in my basement. So there have been a number of great Pacer games. I go back to 2012, 13, 14, those games against Miami with Paul George and David West and George Hill. I wasn't doing those games. So to actually be able to do that clinching playoff game and to have it happen the way it did, I'll admit, when it was 118-111, I didn't feel too good with 40 seconds to play. And everything had to go right. And maybe the biggest shot and was the Andrew Nembhard three. After A.J. Green missed the free throw to make it 118-111, if Andrew Nembhard comes down and misses that three, probably the game's over because time was not going to work on your side. And so Nembhard to hit that shot just 6 seconds after A.J. Green missed the free throw gave the Pacers hope. And then Milwaukee turned it over on their final two possessions, and Tyrese Halliburton scored 5 straight points. So, you know, we've seen a lot of crazy things in sports. You know, I always go back to the Christian Laettner shot with Duke. You know, just so many things have to go right. But I do think, Jim, that, you know, you and I have talked a lot in March and April about how many times the Pacers kept coming back. They kept coming back in all of these games. And I do think that was helpful because I think at no point did they ever feel like they couldn't do it because they had experience doing it. And even though that might have been a meaningless March game against Washington or Charlotte, those things help. And I think that gave the Pacers great confidence that they were never out of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't feel that way. I thought the game was over. I'm not going to lie to you. I guess that's normal for most people, unless you are the participant, unless you are in that game, and you cannot ever, ever think that. That's why the great comebacks that we've seen in sports, no matter what it is, whether it's the Buffalo Bills down or the 4 touchdowns they scored in the game I'm trying to think of, or the Patriots being down 28 to nothing at the half or 3, whatever that score was. That stuff doesn't happen if you're have a normal mind. You're like, damn, we're down 4 touchdowns. This game's over. Can't be like that. Even with 40 seconds left.
Right.
You've got to do your best to channel Reggie Miller, baby.
You know who I feel bad for, Jim? And there are some people that I know that sit near us and they're great fans that they left. I feel bad for those people to know that they weren't there when that happened. Yeah. And I don't want to say they gave up because lots of people didn't think it was going to happen. But I really feel for those people that left. I know there were some people that left and got to the concourse and they've got the game on the big screen. And then I think Nembhard hit the shot and they tried to rush back to their seats. But it was one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. The building was as loud as I've ever heard it. And nobody wanted to leave. I mean, no, the fans, you know, then there was some of that extracurricular stuff after the game, but
So what all went? I know the Tyrese has handled it, and he's handled it pretty well because he has a pretty good personality. I haven't been around him like you have, but I've been around him, and he's like an everyday guy, man. I mean, he's like the dude that you'd meet off the street, just a good guy. And so I'm assuming his dad is probably like that as well for the most part. And I get being fired up for your kid and all that. But at the same time, I said this to Bob Kravitz earlier. I go, man, in any other walk of life, you're not going to go up to some 6'11" Adonis and, you know, chest him up. You're not going to do that. So I don't know why. I can't think of a situation where I would ever do that unless there was like a physical altercation involving him and my child or something like that. But
stuff happens. I think the best part is that, in my opinion, everybody's handled it the right way. I mean, Giannis said what he said, and you know, he was very eloquent in what he said. Tyrese didn't make excuses for his dad. And his dad has now apologized. You're right. You don't want to see things like that happen. It's sort of the heat of the moment. But hopefully we can get past that. I mean, that was something that was a focal point probably nationally. All the shows. I mean, that's just what those shows do, right? They're going to look at something.
You got to sell it, baby. You got to sell it.
I mean, they're going to look at it. But, you know, I just think what the Pacers were able to do from a game standpoint, I mean, it was just fantastic. And now you set the table for a great series against Cleveland. They had an unbelievable year. They won 60-plus games, had the best record in the Eastern Conference. I can't wait, and I'll watch it like everybody else. I'm a fan now. Our work is done. I did 83 games this year and all 5 playoff games. And now, for me, this is harder. Even when that comeback was happening and I may have been a little nervous on the air, I still have a job that I have to do. I have no job to do now, Jim, on Sunday. So I'll be in my basement watching the game just like anybody else. And my wife would rather not she'd rather have me doing the game because I'm sort of a jittery fan.
I understand because I noticed a long, long, long time ago, and it was weird. I used to be as loud and vocal about sports as anybody, but when I started working in media way, way back, I noticed how easy it was for me to just become
boom.
It was weird. It's kind of like I've had to just take that out, period, because
The one thing for me, and I will say this, I felt after that win, I was probably as emotional as I've been in a long time. And again, I work for the team. I mean, I work for Pacer Sports and Entertainment. I think Quinn and I try to be very objective as best we can. It's the brand. We believe in the NBA. We believe in the other teams. But I'll tell you, I had a little Peter Brady moment. My voice got a little high because of the excitement. It was awesome. I mean, that's when you work for a team and you're the play-by-play voice of a team, I mean, that's what you live for, your team to have great success. And I've said this, Jim, that, you know, I've been a part of the Pacers in those 2 runs to the Eastern Conference Finals in 13 and 14. Last year's run and hopefully this year's run. It's just great to see the Pacers back and relevant in May. I mean, that's what people think about in the 90s with Reggie Miller, going up against the Knicks, making it to the NBA Finals. And I think that's what's so cool. Yesterday, it's the day after, I mowed my entire yard. I listened to local sports talk radio all day, sort of reliving the moment, celebrating what had happened. And then I was out running errands and I see all these people in Pacers hats and Pacers shirts and sweatshirts and jackets. And I go, that's what it's all about, you know, bringing people together for a common cause. And I'm just really thrilled that the Pacers can continue, hopefully for another month plus with another playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, what a way to go out too. If you're gonna call your last game of the season,
yeah.
How about let's just have the greatest one of my career?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the greatest comeback in Pacers playoff history. You gave the numbers. It's almost 1,200 games in what, 20 years. It had never happened. Never happened.
Boy, what would you like to have seen the instant betting line on that stat with 40 seconds to go in the game if they had been if that had been made available?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, probably. I mean, hey, with the way things when we read things off on our FanDuel Sports Network, we're reading things off constantly. So I'm sure. I'm sure that was the case at some point.
Oh, without question. And
I mean, I think ESPN, you know how ESPN will show, you know, what the percentage is, the win percentage at the time. And I think with like 40 seconds to play, Milwaukee's winning percentage of winning that game was like 99.5 or something like that. The Pacers had like a 0.5% chance to win.
Yeah, you take a screenshot of that and send that out. That's always great to have. So now you get to sit back and watch, but that's something the Pacers don't get to do. They have to ramp it up because they're going to take on a Cleveland team that just walked all over Miami in winning that series, sweeping
it. It was almost ridiculous watching those games. They won game two. Or game three in Miami by 37. Then they come back in game four and win by 55, and they led by as many as 60 on Miami's home court. And I think we all know, having followed the NBA over the years, there's a great culture that Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra have built. And I'm watching those two games going, where has the culture gone? Because you don't get beat at home in back-to-back games by 37 and 55. I know the Cavaliers are good. They've had an historic season, but that was a ridiculous two games.
Yeah, and I've talked about it. This was a chippy series, so the Pacers had to get their moxie on. Well, and it's not that they don't have to have that for Cleveland, but your prize for winning this series that you just won is to take on Cleveland.
Right.
Who is just did all the things you just spoke about. And if you could manage to do that, to win that series, oh, here's your reward. You get to play Boston. And if you could manage to get through that, here's your reward. You get to play Oklahoma City.
Yeah, there's no question.
Gauntlet.
I mean, yeah, you're looking at if you could get there. Again, those are ifs. But you have a potential seven games against Cleveland, a potential seven games probably Boston. I mean, it's Detroit has forced New York into a six game, but probably Boston. And then probably Oklahoma City. There's a potential 20. Can you imagine? It would be awesome to live through 21 more games. I mean, that would be unbelievable. And the Pacers did that back in 2000 when they made the NBA Finals against the LA Lakers. It will make May and June, awesome. I mean, already in May, it's day one of May. I know IndyCar is down at Barber, but it's the month of May. And so
it blows my mind. We've got all this going on at Indy because the month of May, and yet I did not realize they have Indy races that are IndyCar, I should say. IndyCar races are going on. I didn't know that till someone pointed that out to them. I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's an IndyCar race in Alabama, and then next week it's the road course race, and throw in the Indiana Fever with Caitlin Clark and their revamped team and Stephanie White coaching them. I mean, let's not forget, they almost averaged a sellout every game last year, 16,000-17,000. So it's going to be an incredible month of May. I mean, it is going to be an incredible month of May, and it's just from a Pacer sports and entertainment standpoint, Jim, I've said this. The last 2 years have been absolutely remarkable. When you look at what the Pacers have done, what the Fever did with drafting Caitlin Clark, what they've done with putting together their roster, I mean, you've got to enjoy it, because I look at other teams across the league, Jim, the Charlotte Hornets have missed the playoffs like 17 of the last 18 years. You know, Detroit had finally made the playoffs this year after having, you know, been really bad the last number of years. The Sacramento Kings made the playoffs 2 years ago for the first time in like 18 years. So you have to sit back and really enjoy what you have and what you're seeing. And I'm trying to do that right now.
Well, as you should, now you get to do that. We just had a question. Let's see. What is Jim asked, what is going on with FanDuel that they will not be doing any playoff games next year? Is that right?
That is correct. In fact, so the game on Tuesday night was not just the last game we could do this year. It was the last playoff game we will ever do, because in the new agreement, the national agreement that goes into play next year, as they bring in Amazon and NBC and Peacock alongside ESPN and ABC, all those games will be exclusive. So, you know, the unfortunate thing this year, though, our ratings, I'll tell you what, we had some of the highest ratings on FanDuel we've had. For instance, Tuesday night, really in market, the only place you could watch it was FanDuel because NBA TV was blacked out. That's just a rule that the NBA has. So next year, we won't be able to do the games, but they'll all be available to watch on either ESPN, ABC, Peacock, NBC, Amazon. So that's where that's gone. So it's unfortunate because I do think, not just us, for us, Quinn and I, but around the league, fans love to watch their local broadcasters because we're the ones that know the team the best. We've been with the team the entire year. And again, next year you're going to have Noah Eagle and Ian Eagle, outstanding broadcasters, Mike Breen. So, you know, that's just the way it is. But we'll be back for the regular season next year.
Blackouts, we're used to that. Indianapolis, the most historic blackout in all of sports.
Yeah. I think that's the one thing that's going to happen with the NBA. And part of the reason there have been blackouts was to protect the regional sports networks for their viewers. But that game has changed. So I can't tell you how it's going to be in the future, but I do know. I mean, when you talk to Adam Silver, that's one of the things that he wants to do away with is the blackout rule. So we'll see how all that works.
We'll certainly find out, brother. Well, congratulations on another great season and enjoy your beautiful yard. I saw the photos, man. Looked incredible. It makes you want to show up and just sit back in a recliner.
Yeah. Well, I will do this every Thursday with you when I'm not on vacation or whatever. So count me in. We've still got plenty to talk about with the Pacers every week. And yeah, I did spend four hours yesterday outside listening to local sports talk radio and getting my yard. It rained a lot and it was long, so I needed
it's
to.
Green. You it's got green. It going green.
That, you're right.
Your area looks incredible. Looks great, brother. Chris Denary, appreciate you so much, brother.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, sir. The great Chris Denary joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Thursday. More coming up. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Thursday. Hope your week has gone well. I'm waiting for either Josh Harris or Connor Enright to join us in this segment, and we'll just keep bouncing people around, but we'll get them up here soon enough. But two of Indiana's additions, as Darren DeVries has not completed. He's got more to go. He's got some spots to add in, but the core of the team is apparent. But like I said earlier, it seems like there is a lot of parity in talent in playing ability. So these guys are going to battle in practice, man. It's going to be a battle for minutes. Connor Enright, of course, comes with experience, and he's got familiarity with Darren DeVries' system, and that's going to be an advantage for him without question. This dude is a distributor. His assist rate last year, 37.5. That was number 6 in the country among high major players, according to Bart Torvik. He played in 23 games before a shoulder injury sidelined him, but He's a guy that's going to distribute the ball and get it to where it belongs and where it needs to be. Averaged over 6 assists per game, along with 7.5 points, 3 rebounds, and shot 32% from three-point range. 63% from the free throw line. Got to get that up. But great point guard, a guy that you know that you can count on to move the ball around, to get it in the places where it needs to go. And he sure seems to have those bases covered. So it'll be interesting to see him. But to come together with some of these other guys, like Josh Harris, who came in from North Florida. All the Connor was one of the top point guards in the portal, as a matter of fact. So that was a great get by Indiana, of course. And Josh Harris, another great get for Indiana as well, to go along with it. Completely different type of player, much more of an athletic guy, man. This is the guy who plays bigger than he is, and he's big. I think, was he 6'8"? But as a true freshman at North Florida, he was a second leading scorer. He only trailing Josiah Miles, who was also an Indiana Hoosier now, his teammate. He's been listed at 6'9". He would be the tallest player on Indiana's current roster. That's not true. You got Reed. But I think he's more like 6'8", and closer to, which puts him close to Florida transfer Sam Alexis. So he's a great offensive rebounder, Harris is. So that's another thing I think Indiana is going to rely heavily on, offensive rebounding. There's going to be a lot more three-point shooting going on. So there's going to be a lot more opportunities for offensive rebounds, especially long rebounds, ball bouncing around. And I think Indiana's going to make some hay there. Harris has 3 years of eligibility remaining. So there's several of these players that have come in that have multiple years. A lot of them don't, and that's fine. But there are some that you can use as a core. When we spoke to Jason Drake, mentioned already he has 2 years remaining. But he doesn't want to go anywhere. He said he's tired of moving around, which is great to hear. For if you're a fan, that's what you want to hear. That way you know that the guy will most likely be there next year, not looking to jump, which we see so many guys doing, which, I understand that checking your value and all of that, but it's also nice when you can do that without stepping out. So I'm looking forward to talking to these guys. When I talked to Jason, he was very, very comfortable. You could tell, very confident. And I'm interested. I like talking to the guys. You get an understanding of how they are as far as confidence level through their personality a lot of times. Not always. But and it's always interesting to see the different personalities of guys. Who's the comedian? Who's the serious guy? Who's, whatever. So a lot going on there. A lot of facets, a lot of ins and outs. Yeah, Matt, there are a lot of 6'8 guys. There's going to be a lot of similarities. Like I said, it's going to be a completely different style, a lot more perimeter oriented, relying a lot more on offensive rebounding, but a lot on ball movement with a style of motion offense, a lot of ball movement. So keeping the lanes open, passing lanes open, keeping them wider, more passing spacing. Spacing of great importance. Keeping that will help deal with size. When they face a team that is built on size, you're going to have to do something to change what they're doing. And motion offense will do that. Movement will do that because defenders have to go. They have to move. They have to move to wherever their man is. So if you're taking them all over the place, size won't matter as much. So who's your fan? 31 thinks Nick Dorn looks awesome. Yeah, I think that all these guys are all pretty good players. And I think that getting the opportunity, you've seen what happens with guys, that they get the opportunity. And man, the kid that went to Sturtz that ended up going to Iowa now from was it Drake? So look at him. He was in Division II 2 years ago. Give these guys the the opportunity, and it makes a huge difference. Aaron says Michigan State never gets a big slow guy, and they rebound with the best of them. It's all about effort. Yeah, it's all effort. But that's a lot of things. Effort. Effort doesn't cost anything. Effort doesn't take talent. Effort doesn't take elite athleticism. It just takes want to. And that's something that I think I said in a post the other day, that this is a team made up of guys that have the want to. The want to. The want to win. The want to be Bailey. Bailey. I'm reading Reed Bailey's name. They want to get the win. They want to get the rebound. You have to want it. I mean, really want it. Not you. Not like, well, I want $1 million. Well, yeah. No, you have to want it. You. What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go? What are you willing to put in? Is this about your TikTok account? Or is this about learning dance moves? Or is this about shooting 90% from the free throw line? Is this about making videos? Or is this about getting your three-point shooting percentage higher? Is this about, you know, whatever? Or winning? Earning the money you're being paid. So I'm going to quickly send this invite back over to our man, Josh, who's trying to get on with us. But yeah, all of that, you need all of that and more to get this stuff done. And I think that is exactly the kind of team that Darren DeVries has put together. And we'll see. Hopefully it is exactly that. And it's how will they battle against these teams that are more already put together, like Michigan. Dusty May had a great advantage. He had some holes to fill and was able to immediately go out and fill them, and still has what he has coming back. He's able to hit the ground running. Michigan is going to be a tough team next year. We talked about this the other day. There's going to be some tough teams. Illinois, Stojakovic, and whatever else Brad Underwood winds up bringing in, he's going to always have a team. Michigan State, without question, they're going to have something. How much longer does Tom Izzo go? You have to wonder. How much longer will he go? Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, it's going to be refreshing, Mark. I can promise you. It'll be fun. We're going to take a pause for the cause. And when we come back, hopefully we'll have Josh Harris with us. Hang around. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Thursday. And hoping to get Josh on via video. But if nothing else, we'll use the phone the old-fashioned way. Josh joining us now. How are you, sir? Cannot complain, man. What is going on with you as you are getting ready to come to a new school? But what's going on with you right now?
Well, right now, I just had to go turn some gear. But, I mean, I'm excited, man.
You arrive in Bloomington in June, I assume, with everybody else. Yeah. What are you looking forward to most about getting to campus?
Getting to work. I mean, obviously, I want to win a national championship, so just getting here, getting shit to work, making sure all the guys are working, and yeah, getting to the end goal.
Yeah, it's a unique group that is Darren DeVries has put together. I've been talking about this a lot. The athleticism seems to be off the charts. You are one of those guys that really jump up, but a lot of the right pieces, Connor Enright, was supposed to join us. We'll get him rescheduled, but perfect at point guard at distributing the ball, over 6 assists per game last year. Tucker DeVries, a lot of different pieces that seem like they're going to work well together.
For sure. Definitely. I mean, I feel like DeVries did a great job putting together a team from scratch because he found all the pieces that are needed to win a national championship. So he did a fabulous job.
And from what you've seen so far, this team that is put together, what do you like about it?
I definitely like the character and culture. Like, just, they're all winners. Everyone on the team is a winner. And if you don't have winners on your team, you're not going to win. So definitely us being all winners is a big plus.
No doubt about that. And when I've talked about with so many guys there seems to be a lot of parity in the talent and abilities of the players that have been brought in, which means there's going to be some black and blue practices, man.
Yep. Definitely. I mean, I think it's good that we're all going to compete and work hard. And I feel like the only way to like get better as a team is by going at each other every single practice so you can get the person in front of you better. So when it's time for the games and season comes around, we're all united, and we just take down whoever's in front of us.
Iron sharpens iron, and the guys that have been brought in, your former teammate Josiah Miles is your current teammate again, right?
Yeah, and we played together in high school, so that's a great relationship to have.
Oh, wow. So you've been playing with him. So you're going to play with him at three different schools, high school and college.
Yeah, I played with him for my freshman and sophomore year in high school, then I transferred to another school. Then I played with him last year and now here. So, I mean, I guess that's the path.
What's that relationship like? What is it like to have a guy that you have a relationship with, especially coming to Indiana? That's going to – I would imagine that would be pretty important.
No, definitely. I feel like for both of us, it's very important because we have someone that we're very comfortable with since 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So having that relationship with, like, one of my close teammates and going to another school with my close teammate is definitely important to me and important to him.
And what with all of these guys, that looks like there's most everyone can shoot the ball on this team. And So that is going to give a lot of opportunities for scoring in a lot of different ways, although it's not built with a lot of length at the moment. It just seems to be a very athletic team, and guys like yourself that can rebound the ball, especially on the offensive end.
No, yeah, I definitely think that's important because, like I said before, the pieces are what really matters. You need shooters, you need rebounders, you need defensive minor players, you need point guards. So him, like, DeVries did a great job putting together the pieces and making it one whole. And I mean, can't complain. I mean, I think to me the roster looks fabulous.
What is it about Darren DeVries that you liked and that you still like, but it convinced you to commit to Indiana?
Well, when I was on my visit, he was really, like, honest with me and genuine. And same with my family. Like, if he's going to be honest with me and genuine with me, he was also honest and genuine with my family, my mom and dad. So that, to me, showed, like, his true character. And true character, to me, is a really big thing. Like, if you got character, I want to rock with you any day of the week.
Yeah, and character is something that is very important as this for this team that is being built, and it's been talked about, a culture. Of course, Indiana is a program that has great tradition. It has not been what people would like for it to be in a while, and it seems the one thing that I have noticed in the few guys I've been able to talk to personally and the other things I've seen or read is everyone seems bought in wanting to be and trying to be a part of bringing Indiana back to where they used to be.
No, for sure. That's definitely the goal. I mean, like, on the visit, all we were talking about is winning a national championship. So we're definitely going to bring Indiana back.
What is it? Is it just the nature of being competitive that does that, or is it does the fact of being at a place like in Indiana that you have the opportunity to be a part of the team that really start either gets it started or whatever the case may be, but because it's not there. But if you are a part of that, is that something that is driving you guys?
I feel like it's a mix of competitiveness and being where we're at. Like, so I feel like we all came from different type of schools. Like, if you look at the roster, everyone came from different type of schools. But at the same time, I feel like we're all competitors. And we're all grateful to be here. So if you mix us two together, then it's not going to be a day we're not working hard.
And you made I mentioned earlier, a great offensive rebounder with a percent. Last year, posted a rebounding rate of 16.7% and an offensive rebounding rate of 13.8%. Both of those very high. What is it about rebounding? Is that something that you just really focus hard on. I mean, Dennis Rodman made an NBA career out of rebounding. So, I mean, I know there's more to your game than that, but rebounding is such an integral part. I think sometimes it gets overlooked.
I feel like, to me, rebounding, like, my dad always taught me to be tough, be a strong kid, because I used to play football when I was younger. And so playing basketball, like, I feel like there's not a lot of toughness. So, like, I know I can get the rebound over people because I'm tougher than people. And rebounding, to me, is extremely important, because if you don't have the ball, you can't score. You know what I mean? Or if you let the other team get an offensive rebound, and boom, they get a second chance opportunity. And, like, no one wants that. So definitely rebounding is a part of my game that I take seriously. So, yeah.
What is it about rebounding that you think – what's the key for you to being a good rebounder?
Positioning. There's a little bunch of little tips and tricks I can give you. I can't give it on the podcast. I can't give my secret away.
No, hey. No, yeah, absolutely. But the fact that you have something that you actively think about it, that shows that's an important part of your game that you work on, especially when you're trying to keep it secret. You're like, no, I got my deal. You do you and I'll do me. Does it become a game in and of itself out there when you're in a game to out rebound either the guy that's guarding you or whatever the case may be?
I mean, I would say I want to have rebound anyone on the team. Like, every game I want to have the most rebounds. That's just who I am. Like, yeah, I'm a great scorer as well, but I like to be a great rebounder as well, because everyone knows I can score, but a lot of people don't know I can rebound until they actually watch. So that's definitely a big part of me as well.
And it definitely have worked, and something that will go a long way in getting you minutes. That's another thing, a way of getting minutes on a floor, because as I just said, you guys are obviously going to be competing for those minutes. Is that part of just getting on the floor, of finding a niche, finding a way in?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like every team needs a rebounder, right? So if you can be the best at that, you're going to have a spot. You know what I mean? Everyone's got to be great at something. And that's one of the things I'm great at. I'm good at a lot of things in basketball, but that's one of the things that, like, a lot of people don't have that I have.
And who, besides Josiah, currently on the team, are there any of the other guys that you already know, either played against, played with, some form or fashion previously?
No, I don't believe so.
And have you talked to any of these guys?
Yeah, we have a group chat. They're all great guys.
I was hoping to get Connor on with us today so we could introduce you guys face-to-face, which would have been funny, but yeah, we'll have to get him on another day. But you've got Connor Enright coming in, like I mentioned earlier. He's a point guard. He's got a high assist rate. So all these pieces were brought in with a purpose. And I know that a lot of fans were wondering, because it's not the typical team that they've seen recently that was built on bigs, and this one is not built that way. And so it's been a change. But like I keep telling people, I think this is going to be a very athletic team, and they're going to win games in different ways that they haven't seen. That's why I think it's going to be a team that has to scrap and do all of the things, like rebounding, like grabbing loose balls, taking care of the basketball, and all of that, in addition to the other things.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's definitely important. Like, the team, I think you have some dogs. When you had dogs on your team, like, it's hard to beat them because they won't let you beat them. So, I mean, it's definitely a big thing to have that mentality so we can just get out of every arena with a win.
What did you know about Indiana prior to your recruitment? I know Indiana is known, but not everybody has a degree in Indiana basketball knowledge. So what did you actually know about the program?
I know it was a great historical, cultural built program, but I didn't know too much about it. And so the visit, when I got on the visit, he kind of explained to me Assembly Hall, he explained to me all these things, which is great to learn that stuff.
What was the visit like? What stood out? What were the things you did?
Well, I said the visit was great. I mean, the moment I got there, we went to get some good wings. Then we went on a tour.
Buffalo's.
Yeah. Went on a tour in the golf cart. And the campus was beautiful, spread out, like, extremely nice. And then when I got to Assembly Hall, I was like, wow, this is beautiful. And they showed me the locker room, and it just all kind of, like, blew up. Like, it was a great feeling to be in there. And that's just a great place overall.
Yeah, Jason Drake was on with us the other day, and he said that you know, he grew up a Michigan fan with his dad, and but when he walked into Assembly Hall, he was in awe, and he said it kind of helped him seal the deal.
No, for sure, it was a beautiful arena, so that was great.
Well, it's a loud one. That is something I can definitely tell you, and you'll find that out for yourself when the games start playing. There's a couple of guys that have played in Assembly Hall already, which is probably different, but they are in a different uniform. Who are your anybody that's on this team that you know, that you're knowledgeable of? I know you don't know any of these guys, but have you looked up any of their games, their stats, what they're bringing to the team? Who do you think is going to challenge? Who's going to challenge you? Who are you going to be battling against?
I feel like all the forwards. In the forward room,
because
it's going to be very competitive every day.
Yeah, that is the place where there is the most, I guess, the most guys, you'd say, because they're so interchangeable. That's another thing about this roster that Darren DeVries has built, is these guys, it seems like a lot of these guys can play from the two, or you and your teammates, from the two to the four, or you know, the three to the maybe the five. There's only you've got Reed that probably right now the five, but and even a point guard, one and two, a lot of ones and twos that can just swap.
No, for sure, it's definitely a very interchangeable team, which is great because it's a massive disaster for anyone guarding us. So I think that's a great tactic.
What does having that versatility do?
Well, the versatility makes it really hard for the opposing team to guard us because you don't know what we can do. We don't have a traditional quote unquote five center or whatever. So there's a lot of people who can do different things, which is very beneficial.
And what are some of those things that, well, I mean, without giving your trade secrets away, but what are some of those things that a team like that has to do and has to get done to be successful?
I feel that like a team like playing us.
Yeah.
I feel like they would have to take away like so many weapons because the whole team has so many weapons. Everyone can shoot the ball. Everyone can stretch the floor. Everyone can handle it and pass it. So to be honest, it's going to be hard to guard. But at the same time, we might be undersized at some positions. But at the end of the day, if they can't guard us and we're a good rebounding team and we have good mindsets, dog mentality, I feel like it's going to be really hard to beat us, actually.
With the today's, we've got NIL, we've got the transfer portal, so there's so much change, a lot. Obviously, when you come to Bloomington, you'll meet an entirely new team that none of the guys were there the year before, so everyone will be new, so that will be the same for everyone. But what has it been like since this change has happened during your time in college to be able to, not to be able to, but to transfer to these different places and see so many teams change?
I feel like good for the game and bad for the game. Entertainment-wise, I feel like it's great for the game, but it could be bad for the game just because, like, new teams are common almost every year. So that's definitely, like, an issue. But at the same time, it makes all the games super entertaining. So for the fans, I understand how entertaining it is as well.
A year ago, you earned a selection to the ASUN All-Freshman team, which means you've got years left. And when we had Jason Drake on with us, he mentioned that he'd already been to a couple of places, and he didn't want to change again next season when he has another year left, and that he would rather just stay right where he is at Indiana and not go anywhere else. You've got 3 years left. I know that's a lot of time and future, but are you hoping to stay in the same place and not change schools again?
Yeah, of course. I think Indiana's a great spot for me. So I'm looking forward to just staying here.
And
I feel like it's great to get me to the goals I really want to be at. I feel like it's a great place for development and building on my game. So, yeah, it's best Indiana the most.
What are some of those goals that you want to reach personally?
Well, of course, I want to go the farthest I can in basketball. And I feel like the best place to do it at is here.
And, of course, I would imagine the NBA is your ultimate goal.
Yeah, definitely NBA is my ultimate goal.
Having the playoffs, the Pacers, of course, in the playoffs. I'm not sure if you follow the Pacers or not, but we were just on.
The Giannis fight.
Yeah, that was something. Which one? He had a couple of them.
Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah, I... I would not be picking a fight with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, me neither. I'm with you on that one.
It's crazy, but yeah, it's been fun to watch that, but it's going to be fun watching this team next year. I know the fans are very happy to have a team that wants to win. And I think that that's another thing Darren DeVries has done. He's brought in a bunch of guys that have the want to win, the want to do all the small things, whether it's rebounding or going for loose balls or just taking care of the ball. But it seems like an entire group of guys who, you know, that you came from, I don't want to say mid-majors, but a lower level, and get the opportunity. We've seen so many guys shine when they've been given the opportunity, and it looks like Darren DeVries has assembled a roster full of guys like that.
No, for sure. It's definitely like a lot of kids who came from lower level basketball, and I feel like that makes you more competitive at the end of the day.
And why is that?
Because a lot of people didn't think that you could like succeed at that level, or you went underlooked. So I mean, that's definitely can put a chip on your shoulder and be like, okay, I can show them, you know?
Yeah. How much drive does that give you to come to Indiana and to succeed both individually but and as a team? Because if the team doesn't succeed, it doesn't mean a lot individually.
No, of course. It definitely gives me a lot of drive to make sure everyone's focused, everyone's doing the right thing, everyone's working hard. So I do just want to win. Like, I won a state championship in high school. I won 6th-year player of the year for Florida. So all I want to do is win. At the end of the day, if we win, everyone's happy.
Rumor is that you tell dad jokes to the players' mothers.
No, I do not.
That's not? Okay, that's one of the comments on the from the radio show here today. But I was going to say, what's your best dad joke? So I wonder where that came from. Who started that vicious rumor? What is Coach Darren DeVries really like? What is? I know you haven't been around him a ton yet. You've got to talk to him. You're with him on the visit. What was your experience with him? I haven't been around him a lot either. I mean, he seems like a pretty good down-to-earth guy, but I haven't spent the time with him that you have.
No, he's a great dude. Like, he was driving us in his car when we went to go to dinner, and he was just very genuine, very, like, wholesome. Like, he was just a great person overall. Like, he looks at the bigger picture, he looks at the present. He's always has a plan for everything, and that seems like shows how organized he is as a person.
And how much of an impression did he make on you, period, as far as making your decision?
He made a great impression on me because, like, I had another visit scheduled on Wednesday. And, like, once I got there, I was like, you know, this is the place I want to be. Like, this is the best place for me. The coach is great. Like, he explains what he sees me doing. Like, he explains all these things. So, to me, that was, like, he really had a plan for me. And I was like, okay, like, I'm going to come here and cancel the visit on Wednesday.
That must have been pretty impressionable to cancel that visit. And what's it been? What was it like having to deal with the recruiting? I know it it can be enjoyable, but it can also be a pain in the you know what.
No, yeah, I was extremely busy, but it was all good problems, so I wasn't really complaining.
Well, brother, what are you most looking forward to on your arrival to Bloomington?
Getting straight to work and getting the season, man, and showing the crowd what we got.
Well, I look forward to it, and I cannot thank you enough. Maybe we'll try to get you back together on here before you arrive at Bloomington one last time before we won't be able to reach out to you anymore. But we do appreciate you so much. Look forward to seeing you when you arrive here, man, and wish you the best. Enjoy the rest of your spring, I guess, before the summer sets in.
Thank you. I'll work on those dad jokes, too. I got you.
Appreciate you, man. Josh Harris, thank you so much. Josh Harris joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio, and we appreciate him as always. Appreciate all the guys that come on as I'm trying to get that picture back off there. I don't even know where it is, but yeah, very another down-to-earth guy. So looking forward to talking to. I like talking to these guys and getting a sense of their personality, and it's sometimes they're shy, sometimes they're intellectual, various different things, different times. But one thing I think that these guys all are, like I've said, is competitive, man. They're going to be competitors, and looking forward to watching that this year. at least. It's a lot more fun to cover a winner. Trust me, no matter what, it is always more fun to cover a winner. And we saw that with football, and we'll see that again. I think you're going to see it with basketball, although I'm not sure that they can. Boy, the Big Ten is going to be tough at the top. Those Purdue, Illinois, Michigan, UCLA will probably be back. So it's tough. You've got 18 teams in this league now. And each season, now with this transfer portal, there is so much change. USC, who was not great last year, could be one of the top teams this year. It can turn around that fast. And it has. Look what happened at Michigan. Dusty May turned it around. Hell, they were fighting for the Big Ten tournament or title all season long. Didn't win that, but won the Big Ten tournament title. So it can happen. It can happen with Indiana. It can happen with anybody. So I'm not saying it can't, but there's a lot of teams that you got to go through. Man, a fun day today. Didn't work out quite like we'd like for it to, but maybe we'll make it happen. We always do. Tomorrow, back at you. Expecting to be down at Churchill Downs tomorrow. Todd Leary, Zach Osterman, Alec Lasley will recap everything that has gone on and catch up to where we are. We'll get Connor rescheduled to come on the show with us and get her done. But other than that, shout out. Thanks to Aaron for standing by today. Tyler Smith also for standing by today for helping with the post-production on these busy days. Most importantly, thanks to each and every one of you. Without you, no reason for us to be here. Until tomorrow, though, I'm Jim Coyle. Go out, have yourselves a great day. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.